is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests. Today our guest is Dr. Ed Ward. We're going to be talking about the coming down of Building number 7, and Dr. Ward has a website. He's raised some very interesting questions. We're certainly not agreeing or disagreeing. We just want him to have a chance to talk about what he's found. And Dr. Ward apparently was a general practitioner. What is, tell us a little bit about your medical background, Dr. Ward.
I practiced about 20 years in New Orleans, doing general practice. Did a little what they call Jack in the Box when I first got out of med school, where you pretty much treat anything that comes in the door, kind of a semi-emergency room or minimal care treatment. And then I opened my own practice for about 15 years, and I retired about 4 years ago.
All right. Well, how did you get interested in 911 and the question of why did those buildings come down?
Well, since my divorce and subsequent, pretty much being denied fatherhood status, I pretty much became a visitor to my children. So I started doing investigation into family rights and constitutional rights. And the more I investigated, the more I saw things were coming down from big government. And I eventually progressed to pretty much anything that was unconstitutional or government tyranny, any kind of facts that I could find along that line.
And so then the question spread over into looking at 911 and what had really happened. Well, what the government tells us that, you know, 19 hijackers hijacked 4 planes and crashed them, 2 of them into the World Trade Center, 1 into the North Tower, and 1 into the South Tower, and that's why buildings 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 came down, along with the Twin Towers. And what made you begin to question the official conspiracy theory?
There's a whole list of things. For one thing, you know, out of the 19 hijackers, I believe about 7 or 9 of them are still alive. Buildings coming down in such a short time after airplane hits, especially buildings that were constructed to withstand those hits. There are other buildings that have taken hits, such as the Empire State Building, not quite as big a plane, but definitely not built to withstand a strike from an airplane. And there are just a lot of things that didn't seem to fit. Some steel being thrown out hundreds of meters. I'm talking about multi-hundred ton beams thrown out 400 to 500 feet from the building, a supposed simple collapse. It's just several things. I don't remember exactly which one. It was something that interested me because predominantly the way they found out who it was so quickly got my interest at first.
Yeah, that really was an amazing thing for such an inefficient organization, the FBI, who had no idea an attack was coming, were 99% sure it was going to be overseas, had no means of infiltrating the Islamic movement because they didn't have anybody who could get in there. And it is with a couple of days they knew who they were and had their pictures. And that is either the most amazing bit of detective work, or maybe they knew who they were beforehand. Anyway, or who they were supposed to be. We'll be back here in just a couple of minutes here at the Genesis Network.
Are you looking? looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more backtalking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest today is Dr. Ed Ward, and so he's started doing research on why the building came down, why the Twin Towers came down, and what did you come up with? What did you find? Did you think that, you know, there was some weakness there, weak construction? Do you think the fires played a part? Or do you think there was something else that was going on that we've not been told about?
Well, the official story has, like, very large flaws, and as far as a weak building, I'm not sure how familiar you are with my article, but I have a couple of quotes from a 1970, right around 1970, on the strength of the building, and one of the quotes is, the outer structural skeleton was designed to withstand 2,000 times its load. There's a quote in there that you could cut one whole side of the steel girders from the bottom floor, the main structural floor. The perpendicular corners, cut just the exteriors, and the building would still withstand a 100-mile-an-hour wind. The central core was designed to hold several times its weight. The buildings were designed to withstand a collision with an airplane almost exactly the same. There are some studies that believe that it would have withstood a much larger aircraft. The fires, there was molten steel in the debris, which is very small amount of debris for the amount of building that fell. But molten steel for weeks afterwards, there's nothing that could make molten steel out of those fires. It takes pretty much some significant heat. I mean, they wouldn't have steel mills if you could just whip out there a little campfire or a little office fire and melt steel. You know, they just wouldn't build mills if that was the case. Also, for the fires, there are pictures of a woman standing in the hole that the plane made in the building. About 10 or 15 minutes after the plane struck the building, and there's no fires there. If there was a significant fire in there, how did she get to the opening in the building?
Well, a lot of unanswered questions, you know, and certainly the thing is that nobody wants to address those issues.
Well, there are a few, and our corporate media, which is 90 to 95% of the information that hits Americans, is owned by basically three people. And how did they get that power? Well, the government gave them the power to monopolize. So they're certainly not going to bite the hand that feeds them.
All right. So certainly, what have you learned as you begin to research this? You know, what sort of explosives could have done this? Because the argument is, look, you know, it would take a large team of people working over a period of several days to actually be able to get all those explosives into the building. And what are we going to do with all the wires that you'd need, you know, to hook this up to the, you know, however this is being coordinated?
Well, one of the Bushes was in charge of security up until the day of 9/11. And there were multiple bomb warnings in the weeks prior to 9/11. And there were lots of people going in and out. The power was cut off for a weekend, I believe. I know it was cut off for a while. I'm pretty sure it was the weekend. A weekend. So they had 2 days where they could get in anywhere they wanted without cameras watching them. You've got numerous stories. I think Rodriguez tells a story. He's one of the heroes of 9/11, of him hearing movement in the floors above him, in a floor that was so secure that he couldn't even get into it. And if he had, he probably wouldn't be around to tell his story now anyway. The access was there, pretty much the way, the airplanes, all of our pretty much our entire, Air Force was off on, some supposed mission up in Alaska, a preventive Russian, exercise. So we had almost all of our planes transferred over there. I think there were like 6 or 7 planes for the whole East Coast. And as far as NORAD, they were seeing 20 blips on their radar screens, but they figured it was the same little exercise, exactly what was happening. The collision of airplanes into the World Trade Center. So it took them, I think, 20 minutes or so until they started getting reports of planes going into buildings before they even realized it wasn't an exercise.
And I think that really is an amazing coincidence that they would have scheduled that military exercise, you know, that very day on September 11th, and that Osama bin Laden, assuming of course he had anything to do with it, would have scheduled the hijack attack on the very day they were having the military exercise that simulated hijacking airplanes. And you're absolutely right. There were all sorts of artificial blips. In fact, if you read the Vanity Fair article, I'm sure you're acquainted with it. It was the September issue. One of the commanding colonel in charge of the military said, you know, at one time, we were just confused. We were tracking 29 different hijackings that morning. Well, were these exercises, or was this part of the effort, the plan program to confuse the military so they wouldn't know what to do?
Well, I don't think there's any way that you can have exactly the same plan, the exact same exercise. This wasn't only hijacking. This was hijacking and running the planes into the buildings. That was the exercise. You know, possibly if it had just been hijacking, I could say, well, maybe this is a coincidence. But to happen on the exact same day that the exact same scenario was happening, no way. And thanks for having me on today, which is December 7th, which is another example of our government's tyranny. Their Information Act has released some documents several years ago that show that we knew they were going to attack Pearl Harbor, and we just let them sit there and be shot at, killed, and destroyed.
Listeners out there, if you haven't read Robert Stinnett's book, Day of Deceit, why we do carry the book, and we actually have 2 one-hour interviews with him, along with interview with John Toland, who had written another very good book on this subject, along with an interview with Admiral Thomas Moore, who was there as a young fighter pilot on September 7th. So that's our 4-tape set on Pearl Harbor, and you can get that by calling our telephone number. But what's so interesting is, I mean, what we're seeing with 9/11 was another Pearl Harbor. Almost the same number of people died. A few more died here than died on December 7th. But it was the Pearl Harbor got us into the Second World War.
Well,
and go ahead.
If you read the books from the Bush neocons, that's exactly what they called for. Another Pearl Harbor. They needed another Pearl Harbor to unite the United States so they could take us to war.
Well, now, if we have a skeptic out here in the listening audience, where could they get that information?
I want to say Pearl. If they search on Pearl and... I believe Wolfman. I mean, we've got such a vast area of government tyranny here. I want to say Wolfowitz and Pearl, and search on Pearl Harbor. And if they Google that, they should get the reference they need. Another good reference is Operation Northwoods. If you Google that, you'll see how the Security Council, the presidential cabinet was going to start a war with Cuba by blowing up some planes, shooting some American Cubans, blowing up some boats. This is what they do.
And for our listener out there, you go to newamericancensory.org, www.newamericancensory.org, and read the pamphlets there at 60 pages, Rebuilding America's Defenses, and you'll find it. I'm not sure what page, but you can read my newsletters and get the exact page where this reference to what we need is another Pearl Harbor get things going. So, actually, Dr. Ward is absolutely right. They were actually calling for another Pearl Harbor. They were calling, as Condoleezza Rice did when she testified before the 9-1-1 Commission, saying, we're not going to be able to mobilize the people unless there is a major catastrophe that causes people to think differently and to give up their old cultures and their old ideas and their old fears of domestic intelligence. There's got to be a catastrophe. And those were her words, not mine. And that's page 180 of the book Without Pretense by Tom Keene. And he tells her what she said in response to some of the questioning. And people have to understand, you know, that there really are people who wouldn't mind sacrificing a few thousand Americans if it was going to get us into World War III. They feel that this is for a greater good, but I really don't think that we can trust people like that. Do you, Doctor?
Well, I think this supposed greater good theory is part of it, but there's a lot of stuff that in there besides that. There's some background on the Illuminati and Freemasonry, or should I say bastardized Freemasonry. There's corporate greed, there's personal greed, there's oil, how long is it going to last, there's overpopulation. There's a lot of things that go into this other than just one thing.
I think you're absolutely right. We're going to be back here in just a moment. And let's get explore some of Dr. Ward's ideas of possibly a nuclear attack of some sort. We'll be right back. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case it's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place. Surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
This is Communication Network, and our guest is Dr. Ed Ward, and we're talking about why those buildings came down, and what was attracted me to Dr. Ward's website was his consideration that there might have been some the use of some sort of a nuclear explosion. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's about the only thing I can come up with. There's nothing else known that can do what was done at the World Trade Centers, and the two predominant things... because you could have done basically the same thing, thrown tons of steel yards away, meters away, with with a huge amount of explosives. But then you're talking about moving in tons of explosives into a building, not just a few conventional things up top and all over. You're talking about a massive amount of explosives in there. And those will not melt the amount of steel that was melted in that building, nor will it produce the amount of destruction that was the pulverization of, well, I say pulverization, that's not really the correct word. The disassociation of concrete is more more closely correct. The conventional explosives will not melt steel and produce hot spots as to the degree that a thermonuclear bomb will. The other big thing is the amount of cancers in the respondents, and even now they're starting to show up in some of the people in the area. There was just recently, less than about a month ago, one of the schools that opened up less than a mile away from the World Trade Centers is starting to get a significant amount of cancers. I'm not talking about, you know, maybe an extra, you know, a couple of people. We're talking about 30 or 40 times the normal cancer rate in the World Trade Center responders for things like blood cancers, leukemias, lymphomas, myelomas, and that's just some of the very rare stuff. But we're seeing all kinds of stuff: soft tissue cancers, breast cancers, nasopharyngeal cancers. The whole spectrum is there, and the percentages are massive. And so there's nothing else. I know 9/11 Truth, and I don't really know how much to say about them, because some of the things they have are right on the money, and some of them they are just off the wall, such as I think Judy Wood has a theory about some type of beam that was used she quotes World Trade Center 6, which has like a 120-foot hole in it, and a 30 to 40-foot below sea level crater in the middle, and she says it's some type of a beam that came down. And that might work for World Trade Center 6, but it doesn't work for World Trade Center 1 or 2, where you have a similar type crater around both of those, but you still have debris sitting in the middle of it. And there's no way that a beam is going to, one, go through all the dust and debris that was up on top and make a crater below. If it's going to make a crater, it's going to wipe out everything. And you can't have, like, an area of destruction and then an area of non-destruction and then an area of destruction below that with a beam.
Well, I thought it was really rather interesting. I read some of the links that you had to one website where lawyers representing about 8,000 the people who worked on the pile. These are the workmen who came in and helped clean things up. And about 400 of them have cancers. I mean, that's an unbelievable figure.
Well, this is very early. You don't start to see a peak in cancers from radiation until about the sixth or seventh year. So we still have a couple of years to go till we get to a peak. And that doesn't mean it's going to stop then. We're going to see a lot more. It's just going to peak in a couple of years. It's going to be a lot more, and there are a lot of people in New York that are going to go down because of this. And, you know, you'll notice that you're starting to, these people, the responders that are starting to die, are starting to come out with stories now that they held because they kind of figured their safety was in jeopardy, or they were held to oaths. And you're starting to see more stories now about what was going on.
What sort of stories are you speaking of specifically, Ed?
Well, you people that are relating what they saw at the site, such as melted steel. Mm-hmm. There's some. I almost got some pictures of it, but they were removed before I got to it. A story about these machines they brought in with the scoops to take out the debris, backhoes. Mm-hmm. And they were lifting up buckets of molten steel.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Here at the Genesis Network, our guest is Dr. Ed Boyd.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit TornadoAir.com or pick up your tornado at Checker, Shucks, and Cragen today.
In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Block It by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Block It fabric's got you covered. That's Block It by Kimberly Clark.
Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Would you like to get your website out so people would know how they can get to your website, get your information?
Yeah, I'm at thepriceofliberty.org. If you Google Ed Ward, M.D., it'll come up, and as well as all of my articles. I write about several different areas of constitutional abuses and tyranny of the government, thepriceofliberty.org, and if you click on my name, it'll take you to my archive.
All right, fine. And so what are they going to find when they get there? In other words, you feel that was this a conventional sort of nuclear weapon? Was this some sort of a very, very small one that would be used specifically for demolitions of some sort?
Well, once I decided that the only thing that, you know, or I decided from the evidence that the only thing that would fit was a thermonuclear device, I started doing research. I said, well, does one of these deals actually exist? Because you're not talking about something Hiroshima size. You're talking about something that would have to be on the order of less than a kiloton. So I started doing some research, and I did some federal information release stuff and declassified in 1958. The mere fact the U.S. has developed atomic munitions suitable for use in demolition work. That's 1958. In 1967, they released the fact that we are interested in and are continuing studies on a weapon for minimizing the emerging flux of neutrons and internal induced activity. That's along the lines of the neutron bomb, which they had developed long before this. And a neutron bomb is significant in that it reduces the amount of, even in a very small bomb, what they call a micro-nuke, it reduces the amount of heat and energy by using the release of neutrons. So not only would you have a very small bomb to begin with, you would be able to tailor make whatever response you wanted that bomb to make, whether it be neutron, beta particles, alpha particles, and that decreases the amount of energy released by as much as 80%. So not only could you have a very small bomb, you can pretty much tailor it to what you want to do. In 1976, they released the fact that the laboratory was interested in minimum residual radiation devices, what they call MRR. The same month which they stated that they were interested in it, they also released the fact that they were successful in developing the MRR devices. So now this is decades ago. They've had decades to work on these and adjust them to exactly what they want. In 1950, they had the Davy Crockett, which was an atomic bomb that they basically shot out of a slightly modified bazooka. And it didn't have what they have now, what they call dial a yield, where you can pretty much shoot a bomb and just click the dial to whatever kind of devastation you wanted to send. You had to have a prepackaged from 0.01 kilotons to 1 kiloton atomic bomb. This is 1950s.
Well, now, of course, there were people that were, you know, in the pile shortly after the building came down. I assume it was actually, within a few hours. And so they did anybody bother to check the amount of radiation that was there at that time?
Well, no. Everything was sealed off by the government and taken to Fresh Kills, the old dump, and by the way, which is a place which they just happened to find radiation on their survey. They found like 80 hot spots in New York, and just like a few hundred yards away from where all the debris was sorted, there's a hot spot. And of course, now they say it was radium. Of course, I doubt very much of what the government's told us, since they told us about Agent Orange and our Vietnam veterans who told us it was safe for decades. And then 14 years after they told us it was safe, the government banned the use of dioxin worldwide.
That is a little inconsistent, isn't it? In fact, recently when the president was over in Vietnam, he agreed to, we were going to give him, $50 or $75 million to help clean up the mess. They've got land over there in Vietnam where nothing will grow. But of course, he's not going to accept any responsibility for all the deformed children. Although my understanding is that here in the United States now, the veteran will give the Agent Orange disability routinely now without any objection, even though for years they said there was nothing to be concerned about.
Well, less than a couple months ago, they just put out another little propaganda piece that said it wasn't responsible for our Vietnam soldiers' birth defects. Now, here you have Agent Orange, which is made of dioxin, which is proven to make birth defects, but yet they're saying, no, didn't happen in our Vietnam soldiers, didn't happen in our guys. Apparently there was some kind of miracle that went on. So they're still trying to deny it as much as possible.
Well, they really don't want the American people to understand that there are really wicked people in government who are unconcerned about the human suffering that they create. Well, let's get back, of course, to what happened. So you're suggesting there really are very, very small nuclear weapons that they could have used, and of course they could actually limit the amount of radiation, can't they?
That stuff is heavy-duty physics, and I have some basic physics, and exactly what they're capable of who knows?
Well, of course,
but I can tell you for sure that they have admitted decades ago that they can fine-tune a nuclear device to deliver whatever kind of energy they want, whatever type of energy they want, whether it be neutrons, beta emissions, alpha emissions, light emissions, heat emissions. It can be tailored. If you, I don't know how familiar you are with the Qiam story.
No, why don't you tell us?
There was an explosion in Qiam, and out in Iraq and Lebanon, they don't have the ability to kind of cordon places off and keep people from coming in. A couple of physics professors went in with a Geiger counter and got some radiation readings, not all over, but in several sites within the crater. They got radiation levels, and as they kept going back, there was a significant decrease in the radiation over just a period of days. And if you do some research into fusion bombs, they're not entirely clean because they do make a the neutrons, any neutrons that are released, make a radioactive substance out of whatever they strike. But those effects are much more transient than our conventional bombs, which are fission bombs. This bomb in Qiam gives all the characteristics of a semi-pure fusion bomb. There are also some recent studies that I saw on depleted uranium that it is fissionable. In other words, it's not a fission material. It won't go off as an atomic bomb, but it will release significant amounts of energy when it gets exposed to neutrons or significant heat or a significant energy source. It will release its own energy source. And exactly what the effects of that, it's hard to say. Just as I could find nothing on how transient these radiation effects are. That's all, top secret stuff. Only thing I can find out, and I have references, more than 100 references in the U.S. government's usage of atomic bombs, domestic World Trade Center at thepriceofliberty.org. All of this stuff is well documented for things that I could find. Now, exactly what's out there and exactly what they're doing, I don't know. But they've had decades to refine it and do exactly what they want, and it's absolute proof from their own information that they had the potential to, one, direct energy from a neutron bomb or from any type of nuclear bomb. There's even on Orion, if you remember the old satellite days where they were building stuff to go into space. The Orion, one of the proposals was controlled nuclear directed explosions from the end of a rocket. Now, it's very hard to control, but the information was there back in the 60s, the late 60s, on directing energy, nuclear energy, from an explosion. So the information is all there. They've had it for decades. They've had decades to refine it. So there's no doubt in my mind that they can do exactly whatever they want with any type of nuclear energy.
Well, of course, the interesting thing about the neutron bomb was that this was Sam Cohen's device, and it was mainly aimed to kill people rather than destroy buildings. So I said that they could create something that was a very, very high amount of fissionable of radiation released, would kill all the people, but the buildings would be intact. I'm sure they could do just the opposite and destroy the buildings without, of course, releasing enough radiation to kill the people. So obviously they're not going to tell us what they have, but...
Well, now, if you take some of my links, you'll see that a bomb detonated below ground also kind of directs its own self, because the ground absorbs the energy, and where it's released upward is like a directional beam, because while the radiation goes in all areas on a non-directed nuclear device, the ground itself will direct the energy. and will direct the neutrons. So everything that probably, there was probably very little that would hit surrounding people as far as a direct neutron ray, because they travel in a straight line. And so everything that was coming out was going upward. And the ground would block everything from the side areas. Plus, there's also a link to an article that shows that dust and even just like clouds in the air for regular bombs, or moisture in the air will significantly decrease the amount of radiation that people get exposed to. So that even without fine-tuning, there's multiple examples that show that direct radiation to the immediate people was not as severe as one would expect from an above-ground explosion, just like they did in Hiroshima. Plus, Hiroshima was massively larger than what they used in the World Trade Centers.
Well, I think it's interesting that certainly both William Rodriguez and one other observer reported that there were massive explosions in the basements of these buildings. Certainly, apparently, the North Tower was something like 7 stories deep, and William Rodriguez was in the second sub-basement, and he said that way deep down below him, before the plane hit above, why he felt this explosion, and obviously there was a tremendous burning with that, intense heat, because some fellow ran into his office with his skin simply hanging off of him. And apparently there was a similar explosion in the South Tower just before the plane hit above. So it would appear that somebody had set off explosions there in the sub-basement to correspond with the with the impact of the planes. Is this sort of your thought? Is this the case? Certainly there's at least people from both the North and South Tower who tell a very similar story.
Yeah, pretty much. It's not Rodriguez, but there was another person that worked there, an employee, and the link's in the article, I'm pretty sure. If it's not, it's in one of my other articles regarding the World Trade Center, that a 50-ton hydraulic press just completely vanished in the explosion. Prior to the World Trade Center collapse. This is the one similarly along the line of what Rodriguez has stated. And if you look at the pictures not of the World Trade Center's falling, you see that not only are there demolition charges going off, but the top 10 stories or 15 stories started to come down in one piece, and then they just it just vanishes. And so you'd be talking about more than likely another nuclear device up top that was to be able to dissociate that large of a building. And you also have to take out the foundations. The main columns were 4 inch on each side, a cube. One column was 4 inches thick, so you're talking about 16 inches of steel just for one column, and there were like 37 of them. And in order to vaporize those, you pretty much need to go nuclear.
You know, I think it's so interesting what happened to the tops of those buildings and your point there. You know, that we've seen the top of one of those buildings start to fall off, and then it just disappears. What happened to the top of the buildings?
Just vaporized. It's another one of those miracles, like dioxin in our soldiers, where it didn't hurt them, but we've got to ban it from the world. And then there's the story about slabs coming down, and so there was. I have another little piece in there about the Zip feed mill. I think it's in Wyoming, Wyoming, Minnesota. It was billed as the state's tallest skyscraper. It was about 15, 20 stories tall. They demolished. It was a failed demolition. They took out the bottom 4 stories of the building, and the building comes crashing down 40 feet, 40-foot drop, the whole building, 16 stories on top, and just drops down. And this is a building that's not built nearly as strong as the World Trade Centers were. There's another article in there about a collapse of a 10-story building. I have the pictures in there. And you can see that the slabs come down. There's basically slabs and debris. It's not just completely pulverized. And the height is essentially what everyone predicts for a building that comes down on its own accord, which is about one-third of the height of the building. And you can see this 10-story building comes down. There's no powder all over. There's a little bit, but not much. And the slabs are there. It's about three stories high, 35 feet or so high.
And we're out of time. I want to thank you so very much for being with us. So it's been a real pleasure, and hope to get a chance to talk to you again.
Thank you, Stan. You have a good day.
You too. God bless. Bye-bye. And I hope you enjoyed Dr. Ed Ward.
America Discount Home Medical Equipment sells at discount prices. We sell wheelchairs, oxygen equipment, hospital beds, commodes, fast safety products, walkers, and other items needed for the care of your loved one at home. Our phone number is 1-800-956-6616. We sell at one half of retail price or less. We have free shipping and no sales tax for any shipment outside of California. You can expect to receive the item within 7 days. Our website address is www.home-med-equip.com. Again, our phone number is 1-800-956-6616.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that diseased organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Network, and quite frankly, I don't know what happened with the Twin Towers. I know that I convinced in my own mind that Building 7 came down as part of a controlled demolition, and all you need to do is look at the pictures of it coming down. No question, the Building 7 came down at 5:20 in the evening, a controlled demolition, and if that came down, then why should we believe anything we've been told about the Twin Towers? But How they did it, I have no idea. I just wanted you to hear Dr. Ed Ward get his ideas on that. And, of course, check them out. And whatever it was not a conventional device of some sort. It was something very spectacular, something that probably is little known to the average individual, even the individuals who were involved in controlled demolition. Government has all sorts of secret projects. And whatever this one was, it worked very, very efficiently. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd really like to know what happened on 911, we actually are carrying now five DVDs, and they're available from Radio Liberty. 911 Mysteries, 911 Press for the Truth, Terror Storm in Plain Sight, and The Day That Changed America Forever. Those five DVDs, you can get them all, five of them together, for $89.95 in the 911 special, or you can get them individual for $19.95 each. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, if you get that, I suggest you get my three pamphlet set. It's only $9.95. Foreknowledge 911. And, of course, there's no question. There is absolutely no question that they knew the attack was coming, and they either refused to do anything to stop it, or they facilitated it, and you'll have to actually read the conclusion that I reached, simply quoting somebody in the CIA who said, when the dust finally settles after 9-1-1, the American people will realize this was not a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph. That comes from a book we carried entitled See No Evil by Robert Baer, who was a CIA agent. That's See No Evil by Robert Baer, who worked for the CIA, and that statement was cleared by the CIA to be in his book. So I would not question its validity. But how could, 9-1-1 be a triumph? There were 3,000 Americans dead, unless it was the idea that greater good was what was important. We had to get into a war in the Middle East, and ladies and gentlemen, we're in that war in the Middle East, and we're trapped in a situation where, of course, I fear we're going to be moving towards World War III. And you have to understand that there are spiritual forces behind this whole movement. You need, of course, to read our pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. There truly is an occult hierarchy that rules the world. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get Ted Flynn's book, Hope of the Wicked. Let me suggest Malachi Martin's excellent book, Hostage to the Devil. He wrote that back about 1980, Hostage to the Devil. You can get that along with my interviews with Malachi Martin, four of them. You get the Malachi Martin special at a special reduced price. To understand the history of all of the wars of the last century, the terrible wars we fought where so many people died unnecessarily, you need to get my talk on Iraq, The Untold Story, and get the syllabus with it, because it has so many of the documents you will never see elsewhere. That's Iraq, The Untold Story. To understand that they're actually poisoning the American people, you need to get my talk on The Hidden Agenda, and the syllabus goes with that. Or you can get the DVD, Planned Population Reduction. That's Planned Population Reduction. You can get our Population Control Special. You can get the National Security Study Memorandum 200, put out in 1974. It was secret for many years, but we have it now, over the name of Henry Kissinger, where the major thrust of American foreign policy wasn't bringing freedom to the world. It was controlling the population. You can get the entire text of Dr. David MacArthur's testimony, where he wanted $10 million to create an organism for a new form of killing. Pray for America. Pray for revival. We'll be back in just a moment for the next hour of Radio Liberty.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing crisis, complete with over 3 gigabytes.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, right now, of course, we want to talk to you a little bit about what's going on in the world. And most people are concerned about the stories we're hearing coming out of Afghanistan, the stories we're hearing coming out of Iraq, and with good justification. The loss of American life and the number of boys being crippled. But then what about the Iraqis and the men and women and children over there? Some people say up to 600,000 may have perished. That was a study that came out of Johns Hopkins University. And we should be justifiably concerned about what's happening in the Middle East, but I would like to suggest that this is a gigantic diversion to keep us from looking at what's going on here at home. And the ultimate plan to do to the United States and North America exactly what we're doing with Europe, and that is, of course, uniting all of Europe, taking away national sovereignty, taking away the individual freedom of the individual, and certainly creating a gigantic bureaucracy that will rule with an iron hand and determine everything that happens from the cradle to the grave. It's happening in Great Britain. It's happening here in America. We're just a little bit behind what's going on in Great Britain and what's going on in Europe today. So while our attention is focused on what's going on in the Middle East, why we're losing our freedom at home. Well, with us today is Brian Garris, who's with the European Truth Organization over there in the United Kingdom. And Brian is going to be telling us what's really going on over there as he and others recognize that they are losing their sovereignty of Great Britain. They're losing their freedom. Brian, thank you so much for being with us.
Good evening, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, and you pick the story up from there, because you're a little ahead of us here. We'll probably catch up, but I hope we don't. Anyway, tell us what's going on in your country and in Europe.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that, and hello to everybody out there in California. I think your introduction was absolutely spot on, because what we've got happening at the moment is a huge diversion. We've got people's attention constantly focused onto Iraq and Afghanistan by the press, and for us, the BBC is one of the greatest propaganda machines in the world. And while it's trying to direct our attention to the Middle East, what is happening in UK is that now, day by day, our sovereignty, our history, and our democracy is being stripped away. And what is interesting is that in the time since I last spoke to you, which is just a few months, we can see that the process has started to speed up. And we can see that there are daily moves now to take away freedoms, and we can see a police state starting to close in around us in UK. There is no doubt about this, and some of your listeners there in the States might find this difficult to believe, but if you live in UK and you start to see the way the police are behaving and the way that justice seems to have gone out the door, and you know that you are watched virtually everywhere you move now by cameras and speed cameras, we are very nearly living in a police state here in UK.
But of course, they justify this because we have to fight those wicked terrorists. Because if we do not have all these measures, why the Osama bin Laden is going to come over there and get the British people?
Well, this is the biggest lie that has ever been told, and I can say, as an ex-military man, with what I knew whilst I was in the military, followed up now by nearly 10 years of research.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Brian Gerrish, and he is, of course, with the European Truth Organization, located in Great Britain. And, of course, Great Britain is just a little bit ahead of the United States in the move towards a dictatorship. And in the name of course, protecting the people from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who, as many of you know, we have from the various highest sources, has been dead for some time, but that doesn't really matter. They can always show his picture up there on the screen, and we tremble in fear because Osama bin Laden's going to get us. And that's why we have to take away the freedom from the people of Great Britain and the people here in the United States. And as Brian is saying, in Europe, and certainly in Great Britain, they're moving rapidly towards a police state. They have cameras every place. They're monitoring everybody's motions. Everything you do is watched by the police or by informants. And all of this is being done, of course, to maintain the freedom of the people so the wicked Osama bin Laden doesn't get them. Well, certainly, you have more television cameras than any per capita than any other nation in the world monitoring people, don't you?
We certainly do, and I'd love to be able to quote you the exact statistic, and I'm afraid I can't because I didn't look it up. But we are talking in London alone thousands, tens of thousands of cameras, so that the normal person going about their normal business can be watched and followed and recorded virtually everywhere they are in the central part of London. It is really quite frightening now when you walk around and you just look at the cameras. They're everywhere.
And, of course, that's the thing is that they're monitoring everybody. I'm sure that there in Great Britain, as here in the United States, they're collecting dossiers on everybody through one guise or another. Why would they want to get dossiers on everybody? I thought they were watching the terrorists. And recently, of course, they arrested some fellow from Hamas that, you know, was preaching all sorts of violence against the British people, and he was going to have to come to trial. But they let him keep his passport, and he left the country. Why would they do that if they're really trying to stop terrorism? You would think they want to arrest the terrorists, but it seems that in your country, as in mine, they have a special way of getting off of having to pay for what they're doing.
Well, Dr. Stan, I'm glad that you've moved on to this subject because it's a very important one, and I have a little bit of a story to tell on this, and that is that 2 years ago I met and started to talk to some of the Muslim leaders in UK, and they told me a very interesting story, and the story was...
Hold that thought just for a moment while we pull all of our stations back on board here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Brian is just telling us that he had an opportunity to talk to some of the Muslim leaders in Plymouth. And what did they tell you, Brian?
Well, it was more than Plymouth, because this was some of the UK leaders. What they told me is that they recognised that within the Muslim community in UK there were some bad people. There's no doubt about that, just the same as we have bad people in our Christian part of society. But what they couldn't understand is that when they reported these people to the police and to the local authorities and the security services, nothing was done about them.
Nothing is done. Do you have to ask yourself why nothing is done if these people are...
The answer to that is very, very easy, because what is happening is that they are keeping the troublemakers pinned against the wider Muslim community, so that the propaganda can be spread continually that we have a terrorist threat. And to my mind, if you look at the model, the same thing is being done to the Muslims as was done to the Jews in Germany pre-war. They were made the scapegoat, And in this present round of the fascist state, in UK, it is the Muslims who are being singled out.
You're absolutely right. Of course, we see a propaganda campaign here in the United States. In fact, they've even created a new word. It's called Islamofascism. Islamofascism. And we're supposed to hate the Islamofascists, and they want us to get to hate the Islamists, the Muslims in our country, and we'd be better off if we had not opened our gates to them, but they've come in, and many of them, of course, want to live here and have the prosperity that we do, but they want us to hate the Muslims here and hate the Muslims overseas. They don't want to get the Muslims overseas to hate us, because that's how you get conflict going, and then you rally the people behind the government leaders, both in the Muslim world and here in this country as well.
This is absolutely correct, and you can see this plan. They're working on it in UK day by day. We know that what they're trying to take society to is violence on the streets, and when there is violence on the streets, they are going to use the European police force, who I'm happy to tell you are above the law. It's impossible for you to do anything about them or take them to court. They are above the law. And the plan will be to bring the European police force into UK, because we won't have enough resources without our own police, and we can't use our own armed forces because they're too heavily committed in Afghanistan and Iraq. So the desire of these people is to create bloodshed on the streets. And again, this is the model of pre-Second World War Germany.
And of course, somebody once said that when liberty leads to a loss of order, then the demand for order will lead to a loss of liberty. And so we have all of our freedom here, but of course it leads to a chaotic situation. But then the people demand that we give up our freedom so that we can maintain stability. And that's exactly what they're doing. Of course, here in the United States, the president has recently passed two draconian laws that really are the blueprint for dictatorship. In fact, even one of our most liberal Democratic senators, Patrick Leahy of Vermont, has said, The Military Commission Act and the John Warner National Defense Act we have, which of course suspends all of our protections against the use of the military against the American people, they actually encourage the president declare martial law. According to Patrick Leahy, the new legislation encourages the president to declare martial law. Do you have anything comparable over in your country?
Well, the nearest thing I think that I can offer you is the fact that a few weeks ago, at a meeting in Finland, what the European leaders were trying to do was to force Corpus Juris, the European law system, on UK. Now, there's a fundamental difference. In UK, you have a right to trial by jury, and you are innocent until proven guilty. In the European Corpus Juris system, it is the other way round. You can be taken off the streets and imprisoned, and effectively you have to prove your innocence, and you are judged by a professional judge and a professional prosecutor. Need a jury.
In other words, appointed by the government, and the government can have anybody they want try you, and they'll come up with the government's preconceived notion. What's really so frightening here in America, they passed something called the Military Commission Act.
Yes.
But here, what this they tell us, it's only about aliens, and they talk about aliens in the first part of the act, and then towards the end of the act, they're no longer talking about aliens, they're talking about persons.
Yes, this is the technique. We see that there is a direct mirror between what is happening in the States and what is happening in the UK. There are some nuances, but for example, you've had FEMA created, and we know that in UK now that our fire and rescue service are being equipped with heavy military-style vehicles for so-called civilian rescue. This is not about civilian rescue. This is about establishing an internal police security service.
And I think that's really so frightening. We see exactly the same thing here in the United States, as our police force are being militarized, and you'll see these SWAT teams, and that what are they doing? They're wearing military type, you know, vests, you know, and military hats, military helmets, and they have other automatic weapons. They're breaking indoors. They're not knocking at the door. They're just breaking them down and going in with the guns there, ready to start shooting if anybody says anything at all. Recently, of course, in I think one of the southern states, they broke into a home of an 92-year-old woman, and they just she had a gun. She shot them. They didn't announce who they were, and they gunned her right on down. She, of course, I will say to her credit, she wounded three of the police who broke into her home. And then tried to falsify the evidence, saying, well, we knew that there were drugs there, but there weren't any drugs. Just a little 92-year-old lady gunned down by American police in the United States.
Yes, these things are terrible, and although we don't have the gun use that you do at the moment, we are seeing the police use guns in raids. And there were a few months ago, there was a raid on a house in London. It was another so-called terrorist house, and it ended up with a large number of young Muslim men being arrested. There were never any charges, there was never any public investigation, and there were never any prosecutions, of course, because the whole thing was rigged. And these are the lies that these corrupt people are doing. And I believe that tonight on national TV, international TV, we had Bush and Blair standing side by side, and I think that we're watching two of the most evil men in the world. The word is evil.
Well, I think we can only understand what's going on unless we understand there is a spiritual force behind this whole effort to bring about the one world government and the new world religion. Yeah, we were very, very upset over here in the United States when we heard about this story about in London where the police were chasing some young Brazilian boy. He was running to catch a train, and they got him down on the floor, and he's laying there helpless, and then they pumped 5 shots into his head. I mean, and they said, well, that's standard police procedure. When you got a helpless man laying on the ground?
Well, this is a very, very interesting incident. I mean, it is disgraceful. It is disgusting that young man was gunned down. And what is a fact is that immediately after the incident, a whole load of lies were told on TV and radio. He was described as being dressed in heavy, bulky clothing, when in fact he was dressed in lightweight shirt and slacks. So he had no room to hide anything, and he was murdered. As he lay on the ground, he was murdered.
But what happened to the police officers who murdered him?
Well, absolutely nothing. In fact, one of the men involved, I believe I'm correct in saying, has gone on to shoot another man. But one of the things that is most interesting is that the policy which allowed British police to shoot to kill was made by a small group of people, which included our Home Secretary and included a senior lady police officer. Now, the decision to implement shoot to kill was not a decision made by our members of Parliament or in the House of Parliament. It was not made by government. It was made by a small group of officers behind closed doors. And I believe that the decision was made in conjunction with American contact.
Well, of course, this is increasingly going on where our duly elected representatives really, of course, have no power or no influence at all. It's like they're just there sort of like window dressing to give the people the idea that, of course, we're going to be able to change policies. But the truth of the matter is, of course, the decisions are made by a faceless bureaucracy, and it's hard to pin these things down. And, of course, increasingly you're finding in Great Britain the decisions being made by the Europeans and the European Parliament and bureaucracy, isn't it?
That is absolutely true. We have constant lies by both Mr. Blair's government and the Conservatives, David Cameron. While they tell us lies about what Parliament still can do, behind the scenes, the European Union is now controlling 80% of our laws.
European Union controls 80% of your laws, and yet the English people never voted for this. Did the Parliament actually ever vote to turn over the sovereignty of your nation to the European Union?
No, not at all. We are dealing with people who have been complete traitors, of which probably one of the key is Mr. Ted Heath of the Conservative government.
So you've got a one-party system over there, then, the Conservatives and the Liberals, is that it?
Well, it's supposed to be three. We have the Labour Party that is in power, and they are Mr. Blair's patsies. And then we have a supposed opposition, which is Mr. David Cameron.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, our guest is Brian Garrish for the European Truth Organization. You pick up the story there. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the computer tells me what to do pretty much. Go ahead.
Well, we have a three-party system. We have the Labour Party in power with Mr. Blair, the Prime Minister. The Labour Party is totally corrupt. It lies continuously, and we have seen society decay in the 10 years that they've been in power. We then have an opposition, which is conservative, led by Mr. David Cameron. Now, he's very interested in the environment and has recently had a windmill put on his house, but he doesn't bother to stand up and fight when the laws and institutions of the United Kingdom are being taken away day by day by the European Union. He lies, as does the Liberal Democrat leader. So at the moment, the main parties in power, none of them will tell the truth.
Well, now, are you trying to organize a third party then, at least an opposition party? Because it sounds like all three of the parties you have are in bed pretty well.
That's absolutely true. We do have an opposition party in the United Kingdom Independence Party, but my personal view is that that party's got to wake up, and certainly its leader has got to wake up, because at the moment, not even the UK Independence Party, will actually call the European Union what it really is. And I will tell you tonight, and I hope it goes far and wide out there in California, that the European Union is a fascist police state. It is designed as a police state. Its laws are of a police state. And yet, not even the UK Independence Party will call it a fascist state.
Well, I certainly don't question that at all. This whole idea really, has its basis in this idea that you will have a faceless bureaucracy-controlled people, and it is the antithesis of the traditions of Great Britain, and the antithesis, of course, of the traditions here in America, because we face the same situation with the coming of the North American Union, and, of course, this unifying Canada, Mexico, and the United States. And this is going on. They haven't even bothered to tell the members of Congress. They haven't bothered to tell the people. And a small group of people working behind closed doors, lying at every turn, have made the plan that we will forego the sovereignty of our nation. Now, that is a treasonous act. But, of course, nobody dares call it treason, because these are the people who control the media and control the government and really control the very financial structure of our society.
Well, Dr. Stan, you've used an interesting word, treason. And I think that far from nobody dare call it treason, we need to start talking about treason. We need to start calling these people what they are, which is traitors. And certainly in UK, we need to start calling for them to be dealt with like traitors.
And I think that's really so important, because these people are supposed to maintain the sovereignty of your nation. These people don't believe in national sovereignty. If they were to tell the public the way they felt, they would never get elected to any office. And so everything is deceit and deception. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. What we now see is that within all of the major institutions, whether it's the government or the police or our schools, or the civil service, the public service, we see massive fraud and corruption now.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Brian was just saying that they see at every level of government there massive fraud and corruption. Pick up that thought. Brian?
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead. You were just talking about the massive fraud and corruption at many levels of the government. Pick up that thought, please.
Yes, certainly. This is something that we're really not used to in UK, because although we of course have had people who are dishonest, but generally, if we go back 20 years, certainly 30 years, UK was an honest country and a good place to do business. And now we see lying and deceit at every level. And what has become apparent is that the lies and the deceit and the fraud are being created, and they are being created largely by large amounts of money being allowed to flow with no financial controls. And much of the money is coming from the European Union, and it is going through the system and into people's pockets. So we see greed.
And so people then are willing to sacrifice the sovereignty of your nation and the freedom of your people as long as they're well rewarded and taken care of.
Yes, this is absolutely true. And if we perhaps in a minute move on to what we can do about the situation.
You go right ahead.
I think one of the best things that we can do is we've got to cut off the streams of money. If you follow the money trail, you find the corruption, and you know the people that need to be dealt with. It's very easy. Follow the money.
Well, I certainly agree with you, but then, of course, they have unlimited sums of money, because what most Americans really don't understand, I suspect most British people don't understand, is that there's a group here in the United States known as the Trilateral Commission. It is made up of very, very wealthy people who have no loyalty to America, and they have been working certainly to bring about this European Union, and even long before the Trilateral Commission was formed, men like David Rockefeller, who organized it, and the small clique around him, were encouraging the establishment of the European Union as a supranational authority, and they certainly helped to finance, what was his name, Jacques Monnet, the man, sort of the father of this. And they have been working in cahoots with the Russians and the communists and with the leaders there in Europe. They want to set up this competing system for the United States. And you say, why would they want to set up a competing system for the United States? Because they have no loyalty to the United States. Their loyalty is to this dream of uniting the world, and European Union, American Union, certainly the Pacific Union, the African Union, the Arab Union, all of these are being set up, South American Union, all of these trade unions being set up, so that eventually they can unite the world. This is what it's about, and the average individual has no idea.
No, it's true. We believe, well, for the movement that I work with in UK, what we've tried to do is get people to focus on one part at a time. So we've tried to keep people focusing on what the European Union is, because if you start to expand across the Trilateral Commission and the whole of the world movement, that can be too much for some people. But you know, the thing that I've come to learn is that however powerful these people are and however much money they've got, they're actually frightened. And the thing that they're frightened of is very, very simple. They are frightened of the truth. They are frightened of ordinary people just starting to understand and talk about who they are and what they're doing. And the average American or the average British person can do so much just by setting out in the morning and talking to people and saying, do you know what's going on? Do you know what your police force is doing? These powerful people are like cockroaches. They are fine in the dark, but if you start to shine the light of truth on them, they shrivel. And that's what we've got to do.
And sort of like the vampire, the first rays of dawn, why they run for the darkness again. Because that's where vampires just love it. Anyway, right, that's what the way it was with cockroaches. And these people, really, everything they're doing is based upon a lie. And I think there is at least the beginnings of an awakening here in America. If this were ever exposed, what they were doing, they would be tried for treason. they would be tried for their crimes against humanity. But, of course, they have tremendous power because they control the media here. I suspect they control the media over there, don't they?
They control all of the media. It is very tightly controlled, and we don't even have the advantage that you have in America of so many free radio stations.
No, they're not free. We have to pay to be on them. But fortunately, we have enough people that do believe in what we're doing to help out. And of course, with a few advertisers, at least we can keep going. We're a small voice, but we hope soon that a voice will grow into a great choir. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Brian Garris of the European Truth Movement, trying to get the truth out in America and in Europe. Well, Brian, do you think that some of the British people are beginning to see what's going on? Are they concerned about all the video cameras? Are they concerned about the move towards a police state in Great Britain? It should be pretty obvious to them what's going on. Or are they just enjoying the good life so much that they don't want to think about the reality of what it would be like to live without freedom?
If we'd have spoken a year ago, I would have said to you that they're still asleep. But what is happening now is that people are waking up. They don't know exactly what's wrong, but very often people will say, there's something wrong, something isn't right. What's happening? But they don't know the answer to it. And so I think that if we perhaps use a bit of a biblical sense, we've got some fertile ground starting to come. And when people are questioning and they're saying, why are these mad decisions made around us? What is happening with the police? What is happening with the judiciary? That it's up to us to spread the word as to what's causing the problem. And we talk about the control over the media. It's something that happens in UK, and I'm sure it happens in America. If somebody has a good joke, and you hear it in Scotland, and within 2 days you hear it in the south of England, and I believe that it's possible, it's easily possible for word of mouth to pass the message. In a way, it's something that we've forgotten because we've got so used to telephones and the web. We've forgotten that people talking to each other can spread a message very quickly, and we need to do a lot more of it. If one person simply tells two new people every day the truth about what is happening in America and what's happening in UK, then the message will spread incredibly quickly. If you've got a mathematician in the audience, I'm sure they can work it out for you.
Well, what was that old adage here in the United States? It's, if you want to get information out, you can use a telephone, or you can use telegraph, or you can tell a woman. And, of course, you'll get the word out that way. Anyway, I think it's so important that people do learn how to raise questions with others. In fact, this is the only means we really have of communicating now, because most people do not understand that there is a small group that controls the major media. Here in the United States, why our media is controlled by five mega corporations. We carry a book that discusses that. It's called The New Media Monopoly, and five mega corporations control 90 to 95% of the media and determine what we hear and read and believe. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Brian Garris, who's with the EuropeanTruth.org, .uk. Do you have a website, or would you like to tell people about your website or any books or any other things that you have you'd like them to get?
Yes, I'd certainly like to mention the website, which is, the easiest is http://. And then it is EU Truth. That's all one word. EUTruth.org.uk.
Now, they don't have the three W's in there then at all. You just go HTTP ://
Yes, that is the best way. You should still get into it with www.
All right. What will they find if they go to your website?
What they will find is the one website in UK which is now really telling the truth about the state of the country. That website is pointing out that effectively treason has been committed, and we're asking a very serious question of our own Queen, how she has managed to sign documents which give away power of governance over this country. Now, either she doesn't know what she's signed, or she's been forced into it, or she does know what she's signed. But at the end of the day, from our monarch down, something is very badly wrong, because treason is being committed. And if you visit the eutruth.org.uk website, you will be able to read a large amount of material which is not available on other sites.
All right, I think that's very, very important. Now, of course, do you have anything like internet radio over there, like we have in the United States, where people actually have internet programs that are circulating and getting the truth out?
Well, we have some, but one of the rather nasty things that's happening in UK is that wherever community radio is being set up or community websites, that they're being done by the government.
Well, can't the individual, set up a website and then have live audio on that website, or are you restricted in that?
No, we can still do that, and there are a few sites, but really we need to encourage more people to do that sort of thing. It is a good way of getting the message out.
And, of course, here in the United States, where we have these videos now through YouTube, and actually people who want to know about what really happened on 911, not what we've been told, but what really happened and why, 8.5 hours before after the Twin Towers came down, why Building 7 came down. You can actually see it come down over and over again. And, of course, I think anybody who watches that will be as convinced as I am that this was a controlled demolition. And if that's true, then everything else we've been told is a lie. But certainly, do you have access to these things on your Internet that we have here in the United States?
Yes, we do. And the people who have done the research into 9/11, certainly I scan a lot of the bigger websites, whether it's Prison Planet or the other very informative websites. What I've seen on 9/11 is, for me, it's totally obvious that the thing was brought down by controlled demolition, and I think that the citizens investigation, I'm afraid I can't remember the name of the group who did it in America, but I've seen the video on it. I think they did a very good job at trying to prove to people that it's complete nonsense to say that this was some act of terrorism. Well, it was terrorism, but I'm afraid to say it was done by the American government.
Or at least by some organization here in America that perhaps is even more powerful than the government. We have, of course, 911 Press for the Truth. We have, of course, 911 Mysteries. We have Terror Storm. We have In Plain Sight. And we have The Day That Changed America Forever. And those are just 4 or 5 of the videos we carry.
Yep.
We want people to see those. Because, of course, what happens in America is going to deeply influence what happens in Great Britain. If, indeed, 911... we have not been told the truth about it. It means that the war in the Middle East is a fraud, and everybody who's died over there has died for nothing as a diversion as we move away from freedom here towards a police state. And Will Nunley has to ask why they, just last month in October, less than 2 months ago, they passed these new draconian laws that lay the blueprint for a dictatorship in America. Everybody should read the Military Commission Act. Everybody should, here in America, should read the John Warner Defense Appropriations Act and read the commentaries on them and just ask yourself, why are they doing this? I would think they'd be really interested in getting Osama bin Laden and capturing him and cutting off the head of the snake instead of trying to take the freedom away from the American people. Are they collecting dossiers on the British people as they're collecting dossiers on the Americans, do you know?
Well, this is, to my mind, this is very simple. If you are going to build a police state, if we look at the way that the East German communist state worked, or the Soviet Union, or the way that the Nazi state worked, they wanted to know everything about everybody, where they worked, who they mixed with, how much they earned, because these people are frightened, and therefore they have to know everything about ordinary people. And of course, computers are now allowing bigger and better databases to be formed. I can tell you an article which appeared in the national UK papers a couple of days ago, and that was that people's medical records are now being fed into a huge central database, and people who've tried to say, no, we don't want our details to go in that database, they are now having their names put on a separate database as troublemakers. So your most intimate details are going to be recorded on a database, and there is only one reason for this, is that the people who ultimately will be in control want to be able to control us down to the most minute detail.
Well, you know, I think, Brian, one of the most difficult things for the average American, and I'm sure for the average a citizen over in Great Britain, is the realization there would be people in our country who would want, like, to establish an authoritarian dictatorship and rule the masses. I think it's so foreign to our way of thinking, because we've enjoyed freedom for so long, but this has always been the tendency of man down through the ages. It was only through the, you know, the Magna Carta, and then the development of these ideas of freedom in your country that spread over here. And I think, of course, we even developed even a better system, at least for a time. But certainly we've turned our back on this idea of a limited government and putting chains on the government and taking them off of the people. And now they're forging them for the people, and they've taken them off the government.
This is very true. Unfortunately, we've become fat and happy. And it's interesting when you talk to somebody who's lived behind the Iron Curtain, they've lived in Soviet Union, or they've lived in East Germany, and they talk to you and they tell you what it was like, and they know what it was like. But for so many people in America and in UK, we've never had foreign troops on our soil. We've never been occupied by one of these vicious fascist or extreme socialist regimes. So we can't imagine it. A lot of people can't imagine it. But we need to imagine it, because when, or if, this regime is allowed to establish itself, people are going to be murdered. There is no doubt about this. I say this to people in the meetings that I give and the presentations I give. I say to them, wake up, because people are going to die. These people are not forming police states for fun. They are not forming them to be some form of nice bureaucracies. They're forming them so that they will eradicate the people who they regard as dangerous. And this is why it is so vital that ordinary American people, whoever you are, however little you think you can contribute, you have got to stand up and say no. And that's all you need to say. No, we are not letting it happen. If you do a small sum in UK, you can guess that there's around about 25,000 people who are actively involved in trying to build the police state in UK. And yet we have 40 million people who can vote. So when you look at the odds, 40 million people versus 25,000, it's not a problem. But what you need is for all of the 40 million to get off their bottoms. And the same in America.
Of course, do you have the electronic voting machines over there yet? Because it really doesn't matter how people vote. But they have the electronic voting machines without any paper trail. All you need to do is fix the voting machines and say, look, we won. And that's exactly what they're doing over here, both in the 2004 election.
Yes, this is very true. Now, in UK, what we've become very interested in is that what you have to do is get people doing what they used to do, which is you get them to go and see their local representatives. And you ask them, point blank, are you for free America? Or are you for the police state? you don't let them sit on the fence. And if they don't give the right answer, if they're not for free America, then you remove them from their position. So what's important is not to try and change the people at the top. That's where the power is for them. What we have to do is we have to get the little people motivated at the bottom. And it works. We've been working at it very hard in UK in certain areas, and we know it works.
And, of course, the people who have created all the problems and created the war in Iraq and lied to the American and British people as well and lied about torture and lied about why we went to war and lied about 9/11, they don't dare allow, you know, a really independent government to come in, because they might be arrested and tried for treason or maybe even for murder. So they're going to have to establish a police state to maintain their power to protect themselves. And they'll have to go to any lengths to keep somebody else from taking power away from them. Only when they have power do they have security. And when you have ruthless people who really do not have a sense of conscience and right and wrong, only, you can see that they're laying out the foundation for a police state. And here in the United States, of course, we've had legislation called Posse Comitatus, which meant that you could not use the American troops against the American people. And they repealed that less than 2 months ago. And where is the outcry from our political leaders? And where is the outcry from our religious leaders? And, of course, it's deafening in its silence.
Yes, this is true. But I'll come back to the fact that this is why we, in the broadest sense, must work on the people at the bottom. And they can do it. And it requires a lot of effort, but the people on the ground, the ordinary people in ordinary little places who think they're not important, they are the people who need to come out and start talking about it, and they need to start pressurizing their local representatives. You don't need to go to your senators straight away. You need to go to the local local representatives in the towns or your areas. You start at the bottom, because that's where the strength is. And I really think that at the moment we need to do something major with the church, or however we look at the church. The established churches, I will use the phrase, in UK the established churches are rotten, and the shepherds have walked away from the sheep. And what we need to do is we need to re-establish the church amongst Christian people. And this is so important. In UK, we see that the Church of England is working with the corrupt politicians to try and create a one European church. We see them promoting homosexuality, same-sex marriages. We see them getting involved in all the things which are undermining moral values. And for Christians there in California or the States and in UK, they need to speak out. I hear some people say that the church shouldn't get involved in politics. This is nonsense. The church should be politics, because we should be running our lives on Christian values and not on the distorted political values, which is what is happening. So certainly here in UK, we don't have any faith in the established church, and we're seeing more and more people meeting in groups, in prayer groups, in house groups, in order to restore values of faith.
Well, I think that this really is, of course, the only real hope that we have, because this is not a political or even an ideological battle. I believe it's a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political and ideological and cultural and financial battlefield. But it is really a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And I'm so glad to hear that that the people over there in Great Britain are turning their backs on the corrupt Anglican Church and are really beginning to try to, you know, get into private meetings and private churches and home churches they do in communist China today.
Yes.
And try to learn about the Lord that way.
to understand something which I personally would like to achieve. If you said to me, what's the one thing you would like to do to try and turn this situation around? And that is, there's a true story that during the Second World War in Britain, I can't remember the day, but there was a particular day when there was a national day of prayer. And in that national day of prayer, where people gathered in churches or their homes across the country, and they prayed for the nation, before the day of prayer, we'd never won a battle. And after the day of prayer, we never lost a battle. And I believe that what is necessary is that we need to have a single day of prayer across America and UK. And in that day of prayer, we need to do two things. We need to pray for repentance, because it is us that has caused the problem. If we hadn't walked away from the moral values and the true faith, we wouldn't be in this mess. So we need to pray for repentance, and then we need to pray for our nations. And I believe, and I believe this totally, that if we could get that day of prayer happening in America and United Kingdom on the same day, tremendous things would happen.
Well, I think if we had the religious leaders that we could really trust to do it, but so many of them over here, I simply become a cheering section for the current Republican administration and their program of persistent the war in the Middle East and torture and of course, the move towards the dictatorship at home. We need Christian leaders in our country who are willing to speak out about what's going on, who have more fear of God than they do of government, and are really willing to take a controversial stand and say what America is doing is wrong, what Great Britain is doing is wrong. Our guest has been Brian Garris, www.eutruth.org.uk. Well, Brian, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program, and I certainly agree with you totally that if we would humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, that he would hear our prayers.
Well, if I've got 3 minutes to wrap up, I'll say that one is so important that people don't try and hide from what's happening. Some people, when they begin to understand, find it frightening. Don't be frightened, because the key to us winning is for people to stand up and speak out and just tell two people a day, two new people every day, what you know, and get them to tell another two people. That is the best thing that you can do. And the other thing is to remember your families and normal values. Make sure that you start to pay attention to the people who really matter around you, because they are going to be very important, because life is going to get very difficult. And I think the other thing which I'd like to ask, and I hope Dr. Stan won't mind, but if there are Christians there in California who would back us in creating a day of prayer, would they get in contact? You can contact us through the website. We would like to hear from people, and we're interested in all sorts of people. It doesn't matter who you think you are, or perhaps you're not important. We just want to know the people who would help us create that day of prayer. I think we can do it. And if we do it and we engage millions of people, we will see a phenomenal change. Because what we are fighting is evil, and the battle is spiritual. It seems to be of men and politics, but it's not. It's spiritual.
Well, I think, Brian, you're the first person that I've talked to who really has emphasized that fact, which, of course, is the basic underlying theme of my ministry, is to try to get people to understand exactly what you said is so true, and we'll be glad to work with you, and I hope you'll keep in touch with us, and, of course, you know how to get in touch with me, and we'll certainly try to get in touch with you and get you on a more regular basis, and perhaps we could even get you on to our other programs, because of the time difference, well, it might be a little difficult, but we do have a number of other audiences we reach on a regular basis, and I think this is an idea whose time has come. Well, our guest has been Brian Garris. His website, www.eutruth.org. eutruth.uk, eutruth.org.uk. Brian, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much, and God bless America.
And God bless you, too. But let's hope that we'll be worthy of God's blessing. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, Dr. Stan here, and Curse Bryan's point was we need a day of prayer, but a real day of prayer, not the day of prayer that's put out by our religious leaders, who really are sort of a cheering section for the Republican Party that's betrayed Republican principles and betrayed the religious right as well. And they, if you haven't read David Koh's book, he was, of course, with the faith-based office at the White House, how they laugh and mock and scoff at the foolish, dumb, stupid Christians. They call them crazies. But, of course, they smile at them when they come there, so they rally the Christians behind the Bush administration. But when their backs are turned, why, they laugh and ridicule them, how they've used the Christians to back this war, how they've accused the Christians to back torture. And there's none of our major Christian leaders who come out and condemn the current administration for condoning torture and repealing the rules let out at Geneva, you know, the Geneva Covenant or Convention, you know, which protects prisoners of war. And they can always find sophistic means of saying, well, they're not really prisoners of war. You know, after all, there weren't any Taliban when they came up with the Geneva Conventions, so the Taliban aren't entitled to that protection. How would you like to have our soldiers treated the way that we're treating the Muslims now? And if you don't think we're doing everything we can to foment anger and hatred among the Muslims throughout the world, you don't understand what's going on. And we're allowing this hatred to grow, and we're preparing, I believe, for a war between the Muslim world and the Christian world. And if you think that, oh, you're going to be able to do this without terrible, terrible suffering here, I think you're sadly mistaken. Well, let me just point out, if you want to understand what it's all about, you really need to get my talk on Iraq, The Untold Story, and the syllabus that goes with it. You need to read our book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you want to understand that we're heading into a financial collapse, you need to get my talk on the financial tsunami and the documentation, much of it from the Federal Reserve System that goes with that. There's a syllabus that goes with that. If you want to understand what really motivates the people in positions of power, you need to see the videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll. It's the story of the music industry, but the same thing is going on within the political situation and the financial situation. And as just as the rock artists have got great power and wealth, they got it by selling their souls. And exactly the same thing is happening within the political spectrum and the educational spectrum and the financial spectrum here in America today. If you have not seen the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version, and let me suggest the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, I promise you, you will never look at the world through the same eyes again. If you want to understand what happened on 9-1-1, you need to get the 5 videos we're offering, and you can get those independently or simply as the 9-1-1 special at a special reduced price. And, of course, that's Terror Storm, 9-1-1 Press for the Truth, 9-1-1 Mysteries, In Plain Sight, and, of course, The Day That Changed America Forever, 9-1-1. They're all different. But, of course, you'll see those buildings come down, especially Building 7, and you realize that this was a controlled demolition. And if it was a controlled demolition, then everything else is a lie. Well, certainly I hope you'll go to my website, radioliberty.com, pull down my August, September, and October newsletters that are posted there. The November newsletter will be coming out before very long. And, of course, we'll eventually put this into a pamphlet. And it's very obvious that they knew the attack was coming and did nothing to stop it. And they left those people to die, just exactly as December 7th, 1941, they left, you know, almost 3,000 Americans to die at Pearl Harbor. Our number 1-800-544-8927, if you'd like to get Robert Stennett's book, Day of Deceit, The Story of Pearl Harbor, or certainly our 4-tape set on Pearl Harbor, Call us at 1-800-544-8927. And then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
On the Information Radio Network, I'm Laura Lee Shull. Phoenix police say there's enough evidence to link ex-convict Mark Galdo to the so-called Baseline Killer case involving 9 deaths between August 2005 and June. He's suspected in a string of shootings, rapes, robberies, and murders. A 9th death was linked to the case for the first time today. Phoenix Police Chief Jack Harris has more.
Included in those 71 cases are 9 homicides. 8 homicides that occurred in Phoenix and 1 homicide that occurred in Tempe.
The Maricopa County attorney says he hopes to put Gatto away for good. Nearly 500 survivors of the attack on Pearl Harbor gathered today in Hawaii to remember the day of impact.